Hey there, welcome to the show. Wow, you know what? We've got a great one planned for you today. You know what this is? This is time for our Real Estate Talk Triangle. That's right. Every single month, I bring up the Real Estate Talk Triangle with my two panelists that have been joining me for years. In the one corner, ding, 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 I have Tim Sirianos. Tim is the broker owner of RE/MAX Ultimate, former president of the Toronto Real Estate Board, and he's also a former director at the Canadian Real Estate Association. I'm sorry for that, Tim. And in the other corner, I've got Dave Butler from Dave Butler Mortgage. Most of you just know him as the guru of mortgages. That's right. And so right now we have the Real Estate Talk Triangle. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Always great to be here. Looking forward every single month of this day.
I'm just happy to be back in person. I feel like every time you guys do the triangle and then I end up being on some...
Yeah, but you were animated last month. Like, it was pretty cool.
I felt it last month. I think it was because I was out. I was away, and then I was seeing what was going on. I feel like from a different perspective, it allowed me to be more angry.
That's because you were in a totally different province, right? So you weren't dealing with Ontario problems.
I knew once that was over, I didn't have to deal with it anymore, so I felt good.
Well, you know, that's pretty cool, because just for our listeners' sake, Dave ventured over to Alberta because he wanted to see what that country was like. And in the end, you know, there are some different things going on in Alberta, Dave, but I got to tell you, it probably felt pretty normal out there.
Every day I'm trying to convince my wife to figure out a way we can get out there. So, yeah, I mean, it's sad to say, but yeah, if I had my choice, I would be, I'd be out in Alberta. I love it out there. I think it's one of the few provinces that hasn't been completely fully tainted yet with a lot of the craziness. You know, personally, it's just the way it feels to me. So,
yeah, look, that's nothing to, you're not saying anything bad about Ontario. It's just, look, when you have your choice, right? And when the cream rises to the top, you'll take a look at Alberta. It's just, you know, beautiful scenery, obviously. The mountains are amazing. You are a huge snowboard fan, we know.
Love it.
And look, there's nothing better than getting out into the mountains. It's good for your health, you know, you get to enjoy it and you don't have to deal with the BS that is constantly happening in the province of Ontario, right, from anything to do with politics, you know, the shortage of real estate. And so there's so much for us to unfold this week, though, you know, and just to throw out to our listeners, some of the things we got to talk about, of course, Bank of Canada, we're going to talk about inflationary numbers. We're going to talk about all sorts of things. What is the U.S. doing? You know, Fed's kind of monkeying around with some numbers. We are going to talk about mortgages. We are going to talk about day-to-day real estate. Of course, Tim's going to weigh in on what's happening right now on the streets, what you can expect. Of course, a little while ago, I was speaking at an event. I had the privilege of having a chat with a really good economist, getting an idea where we should be looking at potential rate reductions. And of course, Dave and I have to size up our bet. You know, it could definitely be not looking in my favor.
I don't know.
Hopefully, we'll see what's going to go on there. So much to unfold. Tim, let's just hop right into it. Let's talk about today's real estate market. You know, start and stop. Seems like foot goes on the gas, foot goes on the brake. Tell us, what is going on in the streets?
Well, it seems to be a lot of waves in the real estate market the past month. And when I mean waves, I don't mean it just waving one way, but waving up, waving down, as you mentioned. It's a tale of three completely different markets, and it's a tale of every geographical area in the GTA is completely different. I've never, you know, it's been a long time. I can't say I've never seen this before. It's just been a long time since I've seen this type of market in so many different neighborhoods. For example, in the West, you know, we're looking at parts of Mississauga or Etobicoke, pretty much every home hitting the market's gone. And then, you know, you're going into the condo market and you're seeing people not moving as quickly, which is an area which is much more affordable. It's the entry point would be something that you would see people moving into. We have seen the months of supply in the condo market start to drop a little bit, which is a good sign, because when you were at 4.5, 4.8 months of inventory, people were kind of, you know, holding pat. Now we're around 4 months, 3.7, 3.8. The rental market is a totally different tale. We've gone from 1.7 months of inventory down to 1.4, and it's dropping every single day. But what we've also experienced across the entire marketplace that I'm sure Dave will touch on is you have rates kind of dropping, then you have the bond going up and rates kind of going up a little bit, and it's causing this kind of stop and go in the marketplace right now.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the things I think that people have to be aware of is that, you know, as much as we're excited, you know, you hear the Bank of Canada making, you know, comments or not comments for that matter, with the last bank rate meeting, you know, Dave, we should talk about obviously the CPI that came out way better than what we first thought was going to happen this past week. You know, went down to 2.9.
Yeah.
So tell us, what are we looking at? Why did that happen? And where are we going?
Well, consensus in the market was around the 3.3. Right? We had talked about it was going to be choppy. We saw that kind of increase come out in the December CPI that was released in January. Reality is I think, you know, potentially the economists may have it wrong. I mean, I think it's going to come down to next month. I think realistically, we haven't seen any consistency with the two in front of it. If you actually go back, this is the second lowest CPI print we've had since April of 2021. Right, so it's been quite a long time. The only thing lower was the 2.8 print in May of 2023. Right, and then remember we kind of bounced off of that. Now we need to see, you know, if for those that are looking for those lower interest rates to come, we really need to see now no more big spikes. You know, with this 2.9, I think, you know, you find yourself above 3.5 in the next couple of months. I don't think that's good, but I also don't think that's going to happen. I think we got some roll off coming out with some shelter costs. We are approaching areas where we should start to see it come down. And look, if we can get Bank of Canada's talking about they want 2.5 by the summer. Let's see the next one or two reports, because if you can get down a little earlier than what they're anticipating, that's going to be a real nice button for them to be able to press to lower it sooner rather than later, right? And I think we all know they're likely going to do it later than they should anyways. This 2.9, I think, is indicative of the fact that if they continue on at this pace, we would be way below two, which is sad.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Do they pull the trigger when it hits 2.4, 2.5, 2.1 to kind of ease it down? Or do they sit there and go, okay, we're at 2, now we're at 1.6, now we're going to pull the trigger? You know, like it's sort of that rapid descent. You know, I kind of think of the old space shuttle, right? Like, sort of like come in full tilt. You're if you don't pull up, sooner or later, you got to pull up.
You know, this is the thing. Remember, on the upside, they were too late, right? Remember,
Canadians pulled the trigger a long time.
Average Canadian was sitting there going, I think we should do something about this. This inflation seems high. And we ended up getting to that 8.1, which is insane. Like, that's just ridiculous. So the idea is certainly we think, you know, they should have already started pulling up. But we also think that they shouldn't have gone so crazy as they did. So this is going to be interesting how it all plays out. But I think the good news is the cuts are likely coming if inflation can keep on this pace.
I have a report touching on the things that you just discussed right now. And in my humble opinion, I think that they need to act quicker and pull up sooner. Let's be real. The reason why people have been on the sidelines for so long is because they can't budget without predictability of any kind. They need to be predictable in what they're going to do. They can't budget with not knowing what's next, right? So now we have some sure footing in the marketplace right now. I think waiting beyond, I mean, I'm going to say that April's the right time, but waiting till summer and later is going to cause some repercussions that I don't think we want to see. There's a lot of people who are coming up with mortgage renewals.
Yep.
And the banks are working with them right now. I don't have to tell you that. Yep. You can talk about it. The banks are working with extending amortizations. They're talking about, you know, helping people in every way possible. But there's a lot more still coming. Oh. So if they're going to do things right, I think they need to act sooner than later.
Well, you know, and we've talked about that here on the show, Dave, when we talk about renewals. And of course, we always stem back to kind of most people take a look, if it was a variable fix, we always use the 5-year cycle, right? And so, you know, we've got the catastrophic number that's going to come out based on 2021. So 2026 is going to be the ultimate biggest number of renewals for mortgages, of course. And so, you know, we're hoping that the path gets seeded so it at least comes into a lot better number. Back to the CPI for a sec, though, Dave. Yes. I need to ask you this because here's the thing. Let's take away some of the costs that shouldn't be included when we talk about that. You know, they did bring down the gas costs. Of course, it came down by about 4%. They said, well, that's a big factor on it. But, you know, we still look at housing. We still look at rents. We still look at mortgages. I mean, really, the mortgage rate hasn't changed. You know, we saw some fluctuation the last little while for the bond yields, but Bank of Canada rate didn't change. So everybody's locked into a variable. So people are still paying through the nose to the mortgage. that is still having the adverse effect to the CPI. What would it actually be if we weren't, you know, so driven by the real estate number?
Well, they say, right? I mean, I've seen a couple different figures, but they say that if you take out the increase in shelter that is effectively holding the CPI up, we're actually around 1.5 to 1.7. Look, that's below their target.
Way
below. Right, way below their target. So the reality is like we are in an inflation pickle. It's funny when we were just talking about this earlier, because I'm thinking to myself, more Canadians today know and talk about inflation than I think at any other time, mm-hmm. at least in the last 30 years. It's insane to me. So many people now, I used to have to explain that the bond yields are tied to the fixed rate. Everyone seems to know bond yields are now. Like, it's the social media aspect and the information that gets out there, even shows like this, everything else. It's people are getting smarter. And I think the crazy part is we're seeing these massive fluctuations. And a lot of it also is the sentiment fluctuations. We talked about this a little bit earlier, Tim. Rates start coming down, all of a sudden real estate market starts picking up. But it was same thing, I'm sure, at our office, same thing at your office. As soon as the bond yields started going up, people started talking about that on social media. It felt like immediately there was like pullback. And then we even had a couple of banks come out going, we got to raise by 5 basis points, 10 basis points, nothing major. But just these little kind of suck you in and then little increase are really, they are taking steam out of some of the buyers that are left.
It's the start and stop, which then puts people on to pause even further because they don't have any faith or trust in what anybody says. And speaking of faith and trust, definitely nothing we can trust with a political aspect, federal government, provincial government at this time. And so when we come back, I'm going to have more with Dave and Tim and how much we distrust what's coming out of the mouths of our leaders. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back. If you're just tuning in, this section of the show, we call it the Real Estate Talk Triangle. We've been doing this for years. My panelists have been part of it for years with me. I've got Tim Sirianos in the house. Tim is the broker owner of RE/MAX Ultimate. Hey, look, if you are looking for the right people to take care of you in the industry, make sure you give Tim and his company a call downtown Toronto. They've got it nailed. And Tim's also the former president of the Toronto Real Estate Board, as well as a director at CREA. Dave Butler, you know, listen, you hear something about mortgage and you hear Butler. Well, there's only one person you should really be thinking of, and that's Dave Butler Mortgage. You know, you can't miss when you go with him. Thousands of mortgages, knows what he's doing. He's a guy I rely on. And so when we talk about this stuff, here's the thing. You know, it was funny. During the commercial break, of course, we get to talk, right? And as we start talking, we, of course, have to talk about what is one of our favorite punching bags. Well, of course, it's our leaders. And, you know, it's amazing because Tiff Macklin at the Bank of Canada a little while ago turned around and said, hey, look, you know, for all Canadians, before you start jumping on us, you got to take a look at that Liberal government. You know, they seem to be using Canada as an ATM. And if we just heard, obviously, about the Arrive KM app, holy smokes, how's that for a withdrawal? You know, hey, let's put that card in. Let's yank out $60 million. What are we going to do with it? Who knows? But you know what? I could have done the same thing for $80,000. So when we take a look at what the federal government spends, the Bank of Canada, Tiff Macklin turned around and said, hey, look, if these guys weren't spending so much money, our inflationary number would be down. Now, we turn around and what happens? With the good Canadians that we are, we're doing everything we can. We're not overspending. We drop the CPI to 2.9%. And what does Mr. Trudeau come out and say? He starts almost demanding the Bank of Canada do something about the interest rate. And I'm thinking to myself, you hypocrite. Okay, you're the guy spending all the money. You can't even show us where all the money is going. And now you're blaming the Bank of Canada for a problem you caused. And it's been driven by both parties. So nobody's innocent in this. Tim, you have to dance a political jig sometimes. We'll talk about a dance a little bit later that I had. Your dancing partner, I'm not sure I'm a fan of. But hey, look, let's talk, you know, what's really going on in the political arena here. We got politicians that are making promises they can't keep. Go figure. We've got, you know, politicians trying to talk about numbers. They have no idea where they come from. I mean, how do we lead our way through this? You know, we've had a huge downturn in the market. We now have to sit there and recover from it all. Maybe we're going to get some lower interest rates. We got so much pent-up demand, but we have no inventory being built. Where do we go from here?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I think that it's evident that the election drums are beating extremely loud, especially when you're having housing announcements every single day in all parts of the country. You know, like that alone tells you that you know, it's a scramble right now, and that housing is the number one topic, you know, and affordability that's tied to it with groceries and everything else that goes with it. I mean, look, you know, I've said this many times. I have three kids. All I want them to do is be able to buy a home the same way I was able to buy a home. And the way things have gone the last, you know, 10, 15 years, it's pretty much a dream, unless Bank of Mom and Dad are able to, blessed enough to help, you know, the next generation coming forward, right? The promises that are being made right now are not going to be met. It's just impossible.
Well, it's a fact. What, yeah. You know, call a fact a fact.
I am calling it a fact. It's just not going to be met. You can't have 8 homes here and you know, 100 homes there. You know, we're talking about millions of properties. The idea, this is not a political statement, but the idea of having federal money coming to municipalities that unlock, you know, their rules and are faster, swifter in doing everything is key. Nobody talks about development charges. They are the biggest component to a home, to a condo purchase. We have to drop development charges. There has to be a way there. And, you know, again, the political, you know, economic election drums are beating hard. And I just want to leave something with you here before I move on. You realize it was 40 years ago, February 29th, that his father resigned.
Yeah, actually, I remember. I read about that.
40 years ago, February 29th, a leap year.
Yep.
So I'm going to keep on my prediction.
You're going to keep hoping?
That the leap year is actually the, you know, within this leap year when the things are going to happen. But a third of Canadians believe that the Liberal Party will be better off without the current leadership right now, that a shakeup needs to be done.
I am shocked at that number, okay? Honestly, I thought it would be twice that.
Well, this is the true red Liberal voters that are not easily swayed.
Yes.
Right? These are the ones, I'm talking about the ones who are true liberals. There's there's true, you know, NDP, there's true liberal, there's true conservative, that, you know, very difficult to have them sway. A third of the true liberal supporters believe it's time for a leadership review, right? So that is very telling of the environment that we're in right now. And then you add on these announcements day by day by day, and it's evident that there's a scramble going on.
Big time. Big time.
Yeah, Dave, look, you know, and Tim, thank you for so gracefully putting that, not really running anybody over with the bus. I'll take care of that action.
Well, I think it was pretty clear. I believe it was pretty clear that, you know, the solutions that are being offered by the alternative are solutions that I think, you know, doesn't matter which party that you believe in, need to be embraced, right? We need to have faster moving bureaucracy moved out of the way. You know, we got to look at the real challenges of cost associated to building. And so far, throwing $600 billion, I don't care which party you are, is not going to fix it.
No.
You know, we need grassroots, you know, plans, right, to make it happen.
Look, here's part of our problem. You know, when Friedland gets to announce that she decided to be able to increase our debt a staggering amount again, you know, and when we talked billions, so what, $515 billion it was able to go, she increased her threshold to be able to borrow. And it's funny because then the accountability. But what people don't understand is the further you put the country in debt, the harder it is financially, okay? We can't just talk about going out and throwing money at building. I mean, it's got to be used properly.
Yeah.
But then you have inflation. Then you have all the other issues that will come into play. And eventually, if they do enough of it, we're going to have the Bank of Canada probably circle back around saying we're going to have to increase rates. I mean, this is the problem. We have a complete disconnect with the government. Dave, when Tim talks about, you know, these little numbers, and it's true, it's funny, it's all photo op.
Yep.
I get so sick and tired of it. Look, I don't want to know about making a cookie. I don't want to know learning your freaking family recipe on a cake, okay? I also don't want you pretending that you're going up and saying, oh yeah, we're going to be in the Nuktuk and we're going to turn around and build 200 homes. That doesn't help the problem, okay? All you're doing is looking for a photo op. Every single party, every single leader seems to think that this is the way to get the votes. You know what? I don't see the shovels going in the ground. I don't see the keys being handed to the tenant or the owner. It's just a joke.
Yeah, a little bit too late. right? I mean, these types of things should have been done. But I mean, listen, when I'm waking up and I'm seeing on the news or in social media that, you know, this city in Manitoba is going to have 42 homes built. It's not like I'm like, oh, well, I have a great problem solved. You know what I mean, like these are, in my opinion, pathetic numbers as well. Like nothing's impressive. Like, look, we know we have millions. It's M. We have millions of people that have come in, new people that have come into the country. We have not had millions or even hundreds of thousands of homes built to house these people. So when you're doing 42 homes here and 286 homes here, that's not solving the problem. So to your point, I believe it's a political, we're watching a political theater, and you know, part of the theater is the comedy aspect of it. You got a prime minister who has, in front of the world audience, said he does not think about monetary policy, but then the other day is up in front of doing his, you know, photo shoot press conference talking about how he believes that with inflation being at 2.9 that the Bank of Canada should lower rates. You said 2 years ago you don't even think about monetary policy. Now you're some expert in monetary policy. Come on. I mean, both times that we've had the 2.9 print and then the 2.8 print, you've had both times with in 2.9, you had Prime Minister Trudeau claiming that banks should be lowering rates and Bank Canada should be lowering rates. When it hit 2.8, you had Freeland up there claiming victory. I even remember she was doing a press conference saying, well, inflation is now down to 2.8. These people aren't usually supposed to talk about that stuff, and they're using it for political gain, which to me, I think voters are going to start to see rates.
I think they've seen it. I think that's the reason why the numbers are revealing what they're revealing when it comes to the polls. Whether you watch the Nanos polls or other polls, you're seeing that the drive-by smear campaigns, the attacks that are going on other parties, yep. the threats of consequences as of, you know, a certain date if you don't pass a certain bill. Everybody right now is just, you know, up
to,
you know, to their forehead in stress.
So with that, you know what? I'm going to put this to a vote. We have to go to a quick break. Yep, I hear an I. Yep, there we go. So we're going to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we've got more. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back. And this is the hot table, not this, the the triangle. You know, it's funny, just during the break there, during the commercial break, you know, Tim and Dave and I, we start to being able to talk politics. Boy, if we could air some of this stuff, you guys would be like absolutely shocked. So by the way, I do have Dave Butler here. If you think of mortgages, there's only one name you need to think about, Butler, and that's Dave Butler. And you know what? Definitely the premier guy in the industry. And I got Tim Sirianos, broker owner of RE/MAX Ultimate in-house. You know, it's amazing because, you know, we're over 10 years doing the show here on News Talk 1010. It's been a heck of a ride. And, you know, when I started doing the talk triangle, you know, I had to some different panelists. And when I finally was able to get Dave and Tim to commit to being, you know, part of the panel consistently, I got to tell you, it's been one heck of a great time. You know, the amount of information we get to be able to put out there, talk about, discuss, you know, the topics are normally, you know, a wide range, as everybody knows, if you listen to me long enough. And of course, we do get a little political, and why not? Because when we talk about real estate, and this is the one thing that I think everybody should understand. So real estate is a necessity, okay? Meaning you need to have a roof over your head. Do you have to own it? No, that's not actually a necessity, okay? And it's not even a right, okay? A lot of people think that, you know, I must own real estate. I have a right to own real estate. No, it's actually not quite done that way. You know, you have to earn it. You know, an amazing thing is that there's so many people out there that want to earn, you know, the ability of having, you know, home ownership or actually have, you know, some kind of investment avenue in it. And yet, when we listen to the political rhetoric right now, we are hearing from the federal government sitting there saying there's only one person that should own the real estate, and that's the person living in it. And yet, you know, we have no solution for people that need retirement. We have no solution for pensions. We have no solution. There's so many industries that have no pension. You know, all of a sudden, is everybody going to be relying on the state? Again, these are the things that when we dive into it, you know, my two panelists here have been able to do it efficiently. And Tim, you know, that if you remember that comment by Trudeau, he turned around, basically said, mom and pop should not own real estate as an investment. He said they should have no ability to do it. The only person that should own it are the people that are going to live in it. And, you know, when you hear a government say that, it's almost like they're turning the population against people that are actually just trying to secure their family. And I mean, you yourself believe in investment real estate. You teach your agents, you teach everybody, you teach the public. Look, there's a really good investment avenue out there for people.
Well, real estate is an investment. You have a choice. Like, you're going to live on this planet for, you know, anything from 1 year to hopefully 100+ years, you know, and, you know, hopefully most people live beyond even 100. The bottom line is you have to live somewhere. And if you're going to live somewhere, it's been, you know, it's been proven study after study that people who own their own home, who raise a family in that home, are well-rounded, balanced, the component of the family, they're better citizens in society. Like, everything helps, you know, when you own real estate, right? Now, sometimes there's a journey to get to owning real estate. I get that. And some people have different perception when it comes to owning. They want to rent their whole life. And that's fine too, because they don't want to be tied down. They might, you know, want to try something out this way or that way, or just not have that commitment. Either way, what I do believe in 1,000,000% is you pay taxes. You've fulfilled your obligation to the government, to the country. Okay. And what you do with your money after that is your business. And if you want to buy real estate and you want to buy it for your child to live in one day and help them out, that should not be deemed to be a bad thing at all. Because I said earlier in the show, I have 3 daughters. You know, I really want them to own. I want them to have the same experience they had when they're raising their family, in either way they want to raise their family, the same way I raised them, right? Yep. And lead by example. And sometimes mom and dad have to help. Yeah. You know, and if they have to help, they have to help. And if there's a problem with real estate and people owning real estate, this falls at the feet of the government. Yeah. The government since 1971, right? Who put in the landlord and tenant board and restricted purpose-built rental. Yeah. And that's the reason why we're in this mess today. Yeah. Government intervened. They got their nose where they shouldn't be. They didn't have a well-balanced, you know, plan. They didn't think it through. And if anything, they tightened it as the years went on. Condos came into the picture across many markets in North America and in Europe, and that became the new rental pool. So if you want to have a rental pool so people can rent and have a healthy rental pool, incentives to build them is one thing. Then people will own real estate and live in them there too, right? So yep. It's a simple fix. Let's fix, you know, the landlord and tenant board and the, you know, the cash for keys dilemma that we're going through right now and everything else. Let's just get rid of all that. And I need to add this though. There has been change. You know, we have Uber who's come in, you know, we have Airbnb, we have Vrbo.
Yep.
You know, and again, I just want to be totally open with the listeners here and you. I believe that even though you have your right to a Vrbo and your right to an Airbnb, if you have everything Airbnb and everything Vrbo, there's a problem.
Yeah, totally.
Okay? I agree. So I do believe that an owner in a condo in downtown Toronto or in Richmond Hill, Mississauga, or anywhere else should not have to battle suitcases every single day to go to their place to live.
That's fair.
Right? So having a licensing, lottery licensing program where you have a percentage, tightening those rules up, you know, making, you know, things come back to market for the rental pool would be a great thing.
I like what they've done in BC.
Yeah, but increasing a tax on foreign investment or increasing a tax because it's vacant, that only fills the pockets of the government. It does nothing to solve the problem of real estate.
And what did they do with the money? You see, here's the thing. I would like some reporting because we...
Arrive can.
Yeah. They actually made more than that. Let's be honest.
It cost $60 million, right? So I think that's what, 8 years worth of vacancy tax, right?
No. They're upping it even. You know,
I just don't believe that tax is the answer to solving a problem. It never is. It just hurts the wrong people.
No,
right?
You got to get the solutions, Dave. Yeah. You know, Tim brings up a lot of good points, and look, we can talk about Airbnb and Vrbo. It's an interesting approach, and as Tim said, I agree. Like, there has to be a lot more administration behind it, a lot more control, because I don't actually like just the sheer volume of it.
Yep.
Again, I think there, you know, if you did pay a higher licensing to it, to allow people, and I know some people aren't going to be happy with me, but you know, they say, well, why should I pay more licensing? You know, I just want to make some quick money. And That again takes away from the narrative. Okay, so I would almost agree that we shouldn't allow the quick money out of real estate. Real estate should always be best served long term, used for housing properly.
Yep.
But it should be able to be owned by mom and pop, no question. Okay, like dictating ownership has nothing to do with the actual property itself.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, if I think it's funny, Trudeau is effectively stating that, you know, mom and pops shouldn't own investment properties. But what he's failing to realize is that if it wasn't for the mom and pops adding extra units, look, in the last 5 years, we've had more homes convert, more single family homes have been converted to duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes than we probably have in any other time in this country's history. And why is that? Because at the end of the day, if the government is not going to put it out there, investors are going to see opportunity. So you can't blame the public for realizing, hey, the government's screwed up, they're not building homes, there's a demand, they're bringing in millions of people, I'm going to chop up my house that could fit one family very comfortably into four. And it's going to, so that he has produced this problem, in my opinion. And then when you go to Vrbo and Airbnb, I think, you know, one thing that's actually, you know, I'm sure there are people in BC that'll say, Dave, you're crazy, but I actually like the way that they have tried to regulate it. They chose kind of like resort type towns that would actually be akin to having visitors that would be doing short term, as opposed to just the middle of the city or in some suburb. You know, I mean, that stuff doesn't make sense to me. But I think BC's on the right path. But as we've seen with government, it takes so long for them to get it right.
Look, there's one more thing that I've always admired in other jurisdictions that we can learn from by traveling around the world, right? And I had that privilege when I was CREP president. I went to France, I went to California and other places, and I saw this. Instead of having a vacancy tax or penalizing somebody who actually comes to Toronto and lives for a certain period of time, the way I would go to Florida, or you go to Alberta or Greece or anywhere else, why not just do what Florida does? Why not just have the municipality win by doubling their property taxes?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Why not just allow the municipality to win by doubling the property taxes? Wow, what a concept, right? Hey. And what I do believe in is that the provincial government has an opportunity right now, since municipalities need money, to get rid of the land transfer tax at the provincial level.
Yes.
And speaking of property taxes, Tim, you met with somebody, and we're going to talk about this when we come back. Hey, if you're not following me on Instagram, make sure you do it, The Simple Investor One. And don't forget to catch my YouTube channel with my podcast. So much more fun. And we'll be right back after this. And welcome back. It's amazing how fast an hour goes by, especially when I have my dear friends and panelists joining me. We've got Tim Sirianos here. He is part of the Real Estate Talk Triangle. Tim is the broker owner of RE/MAX Ultimate, former president of the Toronto Real Estate Board, as well as a former director at the Canadian Real Estate Association. And, you know, really, I feel like I'm introducing James Bond, right? So when they say Bond, James Bond, I say Butler, Dave Butler, you know, mortgages. Like, you know, it just doesn't get any better, right? And so for me, you know, definitely the voice of reason when we talk about mortgages, and the best for guidance. Now, speaking of guidance, you know, it's interesting because just before the break, you know, Tim had alluded to, you know, doubling property taxes in some areas to, and trust me, he wasn't taking a lead from the newly elected mayor of Toronto. You know, she's doubling taxes just because she just can't get a grasp of things, I think. Tim, you had the pleasure, and I did actually see a post of you with the Mayor Chow and yourself.
Wow.
And of course, from my understanding, she was probably asking your advice on how to deal with real estate, because if she wasn't, she missed a huge opportunity of talking to the person that she should be.
We didn't talk much, but we did talk. It was not deep. It was not about taxes. You know, it was really nice talking to her, listening to her on the stage at the TREB forecast that she was a part of. There was also somebody there from the Liberal Party, a representative, and also from the Conservative Party as well. And, you know, I will say one thing. I will say that when you have an opportunity to work with all three levels, two of the three actually talked about working and had some form of a plan. And one just said that, you know, this is time to one day work, to maybe plan, to start, to consider, to maybe, and we need your support, and we need more
time. I think I know which one.
And I need more time, and we've been doing great so far. I think I said enough right there, right? So, I mean, talking about, I'm not a fan of the property tax increasing in the city of Toronto that much. I think that it was a big mistake. I don't buy it. I think there's other savings in Toronto that you can find. There's already found savings by listening to our show, I think maybe works by having the gardener and the 401 and everything be a provincial initiative and not something for the city to look at. Yep. And just to remind everybody, I'm like Harbor Square, Lakeshore, Bay Street, I'm like all downtown, like I'm all over those areas, right? So, but listen, people think or got the impression that she's a certain way. But what she's demonstrated so far from the people I've spoken to and worked with, she's not as, I don't want to use the word left, or, NDP or what have you. Like, she's listening. Like, she wants to solve problems, right? And let's see. I mean, let's see if, give her a little bit of runway and see what happens.
I don't think we have a choice.
Hang on. Sorry, did you say rope?
I said runway.
I give rope.
Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. The one thing that some previous mayors were relying on a fair bit was, of course, the land transfer tax, because Toronto has its unique own land transfer tax. And of course, with the downturn in the marketplace and what's happened in Toronto, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars that are missing from the coffers, which they were relying on. So then, of course, this is why you make the request to the federal government, or we're going to increase taxes. I don't like blackmail. I don't like, people not truly using incentives where they need it. If somebody was smart today, City of London has turned around and brought in the fact that they are going to allow some of the commercial properties to be converted to residential, mm-hmm. which is, I think, a stellar idea. And, hello, wake up some of you big landlords down in Toronto, turn them into residential, get them sold. You'd be surprised. Hey, Toronto, you're going to get a whole lot of tax dollars and development charges and everything else. Like, they are missing part of the middle. The one other thing, of course, was, Tim, the extension of the foreign buyers. They put it on the shelf for another 2 years after this next one, ends. They're not the problem. And here's the thing. Developers were canceling projects because of interest rates, right? Because they couldn't find the buyers.
Correct.
The foreign buyers aren't worried about a 3 or a 5% mortgage. And yet, so let's take out any possibility of selling. Let's collapse some builders. Let's not sell anything. And let's still blame the foreign buyers. I think that this is ludicrous. I think the federal government is so far off base on this.
That is a headline to get, as you mentioned earlier, get some good photos, some good coverage, to show or try to demonstrate that they're doing something to help people, which is doing absolutely nothing. We deal with over 9,000 transactions a year in downtown. A big portion of our transactions are condo and pre-construction. And I'll tell you, while the market, and talking about Alberta, while the market here has completely stalled over the past year, the amount of pre-construction condos that my brokerage, my firm, has been involved in Alberta,
yep,
is staggering. Mm-hmm. We've been involved in hundreds of transactions in Alberta. So the investor is not even in Toronto anymore. The investor who's looking for purpose-built rental that doesn't exist is going to Alberta. But why are they also going to Alberta? There's no rent. If a tenant cannot demand cash for keys,
nope.
If you're not going to pay your rent within a month or two, you're out. Full stop, right?
Nope.
And, there has to be some balance when it comes to property rights. You can't just, wield a very heavy stick and, beat somebody and then still want them to invest in something.
Yep.
Doesn't work that way. It's a partnership, right? And a partnership is when you have rules and regulations that protect both sides equally and is not heavyweight on one side.
Yeah. And you know what, Dave? Tim makes a really good point. It's definitely weighted on the other side when we talk about investment real estate. Some final thoughts. We had an interesting conversation today, Dave, and like I said, foreign buyers, I know that what they used to do is show up at your office with oodles of cash, big buckets of it. I know that you put it under your mattress now so that your son has his life set up. Let's be real. The number wasn't even close to what they assumed.
No, and it was always actually pretty concentrated in certain areas of specific provinces. We know in the 2000s,
it was very concentrated in City of Vancouver.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then when they actually started shutting that down, we actually saw some influx into mainly Toronto. You know what I mean? It wasn't like the suburbs. Like a lot of people have this misconception that like foreign buyers are coming in and buying in the suburbs. It's actually generally not what they're looking to do. They love that international flavor. They love the rate in those pockets. You know, I, at the end of the day, you know, my thought on the foreign buyers thing was always, look, you're unequaling the market. You know, the reality is a real estate market as a market itself will show its balance itself if you don't generally intervene or cause it to go one way or the other. I think there's just the problem is in the last 20 years, if we really, really, really look at mortgage market and the, you know, influence that the government has had, it has been very bearish in terms of, you know, like it's always been, let's cut this out, let's cut that out, let's cut that out, you know, oh, let's do it. Like it's in terms of mortgages, I'm even going on. We've lost so many good programs that were helpful for Canadians that didn't have that quote unquote job letter and pay stub. You know what I mean? They make their money. They just don't make it in the same way that, let's say, the average Canadian does. Those programs have all gotten axed. There's very few of them left. They're starting to make a slight comeback. But, you know, it's just, I just find the more intervention, the more they've kind of taken the naturalness out of the market.
The bad apples have screwed those programs.
Yep.
The bad apples are the ones who got those taken away from them for the most part. That's what I, you know, we've seen it in our industry. You know, we have regulations that are, you know, ramping up because of some people who shouldn't even be in the business of mortgages or real estate for that matter. And maybe they shouldn't even be landlords or, you know, as well, right? Like, I mean, it is what it is, but, yeah, I mean, government intervention, there's always unintended consequences that we deal with, right?
Yeah.
And we deal with them for years after, yes. Not just for...
They're hard to unwind.
They're hard to unwind.
Yeah, so I don't call it government intervention. I call it government control. And speaking of controlling, we've run out of runway. And you know what? I do want to thank Tim and Dave for joining me this week. Always awesome having them join me. Hey, if you're not joining me on Instagram, do it. TheSimpleInvestor1, or catch my YouTube channel. Hey, by the way, you know what? We're going to stay put. We're going to, you know, probably throw down a simple podcast. So if you want to catch our YouTube channel, you're going to be able to hear us continue on our rant, except this time we won't have a muzzle on. Hey, listen, I do want to thank my producer, Aiden, in-house. He's always keeping it simple for me, as well as Ian Grant at head office. Most importantly, I want to thank you. You've made us the number one real estate talk show. And of course, we'll be back next week as usual. I'm your host, Todd C. Slater. You've been listening to Simply Real Estate right here on News Talk 1010 Toronto.